So today, we finish up the second part of biblical affirmation. I am able to affirm others through the power of the Lord. In both Matthew's gospel recording of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which you find in chapters 5 through 7, and also Luke's version of Jesus' Sermon on the Plains, we are instructed by our Savior to be the salt of the earth. In Paul's letter to the Colossian church, he imparts very, very important teachings to both that we be self-aware and situationally aware. By letting your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. But I ask you this question. Take a pause and reflect. Does your day-to-day Christian life more accurately resemble that of the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is also called the Sea of Salt, and it is a salt lake bordered by Jordan to the east, Israel, and the West Bank to the west. It lies in the Jordan Rift Valley, and its only major tributary, and tributary means water source, is the Jordan River. Although there are many small perennial springs under and around the Dead Sea, they form these pools of quicksand pits along the edges. What an amazing word picture. It's one of the world's saltiest bodies of water. In fact, it's 9.6 times as salty as the ocean. Its salinity content makes for a very harsh environment in which plants and animals cannot flourish. Interestingly, as I was doing my research on the Dead Sea, one of its known contributions is supplying of asphalt for Egyptian mummification of the dead. Hope you're getting a word picture here. It is an endorheic basin. In other words, it's a closed or terminal drainage basin because it retains water and allows no outflow. There's no outlet streams to other external bodies of water, such as rivers or oceans, but it drains convergence instead into lakes or swamps, permanent or seasonal, that equilibrate through evaporation. In prose or poetry, this body of water is referred to as the Sea of Death due to the scarcity of aquatic life there. It is critical for your maturity as a disciple of Christ that you do not let your Christian life be like the Dead Sea. You recall, and I know that if you weren't here last week, that you'll go back because Ken does a great job of posting this past sermons, so you can go back and listen to the sermon from last week. In our scripture passage that we had last week and for today, we as Christians continually receive a constant flow of spiritual blessings in Christ. Just like the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea, if we do not allow a free flow of the Holy Spirit to affirm who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ, and allow God to pass biblical affirmations through us like an outlet stream to enrich one another, Our daily Christian walk will scarcely resemble any Christ-likeness or produce any spiritual fruit in our life. In fact, Matthew 5, verse 13 says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. We are to be the salt of the earth. And salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another. Do you want the abundant life that Jesus promises to you to be reduced down to a stinky, smelly, spiritual sea of death for you and for those around you? In many ways, the Apostle Paul demonstrated how, with words and actions, that we are to affirm others through the power of the Lord. In part one of this sermon on biblical affirmation, we read Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Today we read Paul's second letter to the Ephesian church pastor, Timothy. Please turn in your Bibles right now to 2 Timothy, and we're going to read in chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, was by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, I long night and day to see you, that I may be filled with joy. Do you know that just coming to church, coming to Bible study, the adult classes, the teachers that prepare, the youth classes, the teachers that prepare, the children's classes, the teachers that prepare, the worship team and the choir that prepare. Did you know the way you show remembrance starts with not only praying for one another, but showing up? Longing to show up. Ask yourself this question, whether or not you stink, and I don't want anybody lifting your armpits. Don't want that on video. But do you smell a little stinky on your attitude and, golly, I got to go to church today? Or was it, golly, I get to go to church today? I have been praying for so-and-so and I long to see them. I long night and day to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded. Did you notice here? He said this now three times. Memory is a key ingredient to biblical affirmation. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwelling in you. Hence, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give you a spirit. God did not give you a spirit. God did not give you a spirit of timidity or cowardliness, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control. You see, self-discipline requires self-awareness and situational awareness. Verse 8, do not be ashamed then of testifying to our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel. That's the spreading of the good news in the power of God who saved, who saved us. Now I ask you, isn't that the greatest blessing that you've received? Why would you want to withhold the greatest blessing that you've received in sharing it and imparting it with somebody in your family or your neighbor or the Lord brings into your life? Do you smell good? Or do you smell like the Dead Sea? And he called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in the virtue of his own purpose and the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago. Verse 10, and now has manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed as a preacher, as an apostle, as a teacher, and therefore I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day which has been entrusted to me. Follow the patterns of the sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. One of the many blessings you have been entrusted with, one of the many blessings each of us have been entrusted with, is the active and intentional responsibility. You have a responsibility. I am here to tell you today, as God's herald, you have a responsibility of affirming others. May the Lord bless you exceedingly in the reading of his word. Paul begins his letter, did you notice, with words of affirmation to Pastor Timothy? Words such as grace and mercy and peace. And these are not derived from himself here on earth, but these are words from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ that comes upon us from heavenly places. Similar to many other passages in Scripture, such as we read in Ephesians last week, God continuously affirms the truth that he loves us. Do you know that God loves you and desires to share blessing after blessing after blessing upon each of us? Like a river that steadily flows. Did you know God's blessings flow over you? God's blessings flow under you. God's blessings flow through you. The God of all truth is constantly blessing us. He's pouring out his divine affirmations upon us every single day. In review from last week, we now know that unlike the world's humanistic form of self-affirmation, where we have a tendency to self-focus, is built upon building up our own self-esteem and self-confidence. When I was in high school, I thought I was slicker than, well, I was going to say snot, but I can't say that, can I? I thought I was pretty cool. So I actually had written in Greek a bracelet that said number one. I had a bracelet that I had that I would say said number one. Football, baseball, weightlifting. I used to lift over 500 pounds. I was pretty cool. And I was building myself up. Focused in on the wrong person. That's what the world has to offer. Self-esteem, self-confidence. Biblical affirmation is truth that focuses in on who God is, how he sees us, and how the power of God wants us to see others, not the way that we see others, but the way that God sees others. In many ways, self-affirmation, we are just lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves about ourselves, and we have a tendency to go out and grandstand our own personal ego. Whereas biblical affirmation is telling the truth to God, yourself, and others with agape love because it is grounded in and based on truth, which is the Word of God. Now, last week we talked about you are or I am affirmed by the Lord. The Lord and His Word are trustworthy and true. It is the only guide for our lives to follow because God is truth. Everything else is just a shadow of it, a distorted shadow of it. Because His very being is the essence of all truth. When He declares something to be true, you and I can always rely upon that statement. When the Lord affirms you, and in your handout, I gave you the same handout from last week because I'm trying to make a point here that you need to be reading what God thinks about you. Not what you perceive that you're looking at in a mirror. What God affirms about you, you can count on it. And let me tell you, you are beautiful. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, for you are all one in Christ. Then we covered number two about I am able to affirm myself in the Lord. God has given His children the Word of God, Jesus, who is the living Word. He's given us the Scriptures. He's given us His Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth. Because you are precious in God's sight, you can affirm yourself in the Lord. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I'm wonderful. I know them fully well. The Lord is my shield and my strength. And as you remember, King David said in 1 Samuel, we can encourage one another in the Lord our God. So I am able to be affirmed in the Lord and by the Lord, but I'm also able to affirm others through the power of the Lord. God's Word, the Bible, affirms the fact that as His heirs to the kingdom of God, and you and I are His royal ambassadors, we are endowed with God's divine holy power and authority, we are able to affirm others. When God affirms you, it is for your benefit. When we affirm and exhort one another, it is for the benefit of the recipient. But don't leave this out. It is also to glorify God. It is also to glorify God. This is where self-awareness and situational awareness are very, very critical. You see, you may intend to say something or do something to lift another person up, but if you are not self-aware or situationally aware, you may, in fact, cause the opposite to occur. The epistle of James is an example of scriptural exhortation. In fact, our gathering together here today in corporate worship should be a sacred time of exhortation. That is why we read in Hebrews chapter 10, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Mutual exhortation, or to encourage, comfort, admonish, is a responsibility of all Christians. Not just one or two of us. It's not just the pastor or the chairman of the deacons or the deacons. We're supposed to all be doing it. If you read further in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul goes on to tell Timothy this. Remind them of this and charge them before the Lord to avoid disputing about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightfully handling the word of truth. Avoid such godless chatter, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And their talk will eat it away like gangrene. Shun youthful passions and aim at righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with this stupid, senseless controversies. You know that they only breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, forbearing, correcting his opponents with gentleness. You know why? So that God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, and that they may escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Sherry and I, my wife, my wonderful wife Sherry and I, for so many years, we have enjoyed watching a TV show called Everyone Loves Raymond. I hope I'm okay with that with everyone, but there's an episode where Frank and Marie Barone were going to be evicted from their retirement community. When the staff members tried to explain why their parents had to leave to their son Raymond and to his wife Deborah, one of the complaints was about how Marie talks to others. You know, she has this way of appearing to give a compliment when actually she's insulting you. To which Deborah responded, "Well, Marie may be opinionated and may be bruising some feelings, but it's important to remember that everything she does comes from love. Let us try not to talk at people. But if you must say something, talk kindly and gracious with people." As you opened your Bibles, as you do that this week, look up the biblical affirmation passages that are there in your bulletin insert. Prayerfully read them and claim these truths. And say, "I am affirmed by the Lord, and I am able to affirm myself in the Lord." As Christian author Lisa Apello points out, biblical affirmations are truth rooted in Scripture to declare over your circumstances, to declare over yourself, and to declare over your relationships with others. These Christian affirmations will help you. They'll help you by allowing you to anchor your faith in who God is, to secure a deep peace God promises, to reframe your circumstances with God's truth, to set your minds on what is true and honorable, and to prepare your hearts for the day before you. Then, commit to being a main spiritual tributary, a water source, a spiritual flow water source, by allowing the power of the Lord to work through you to affirm others as God grants you ability. All to the glory of God, especially to one another in the body of Christ. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Ask the Lord today to give you at least one person. I challenge you today. Ask the Lord to give you just one person you can encourage by bringing out the best in them, by affirming their strengths. Be the one who helps others build up their strengths instead of being a Marie Barone that always seems to point out their weaknesses under the guise and disguise of love or "I'm just trying to help." Be self-aware. Be situationally aware that your motives and intent are for the purposes of building others up, and avoid the consequences of tearing them down. So encourage encourage each other and bring each other up just as you are already doing. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words, listen, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Why? All to the glory of God. How can we affirm others? By letting them know that you matter to me. Dear children, let not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Let all that you do be done in love. How can we affirm one another's? By showing them, I am here for you. Anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders. A friend's love at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. How should we affirm one another? In the same way, we need to be affirming one another in the same way that Jesus, just as Jesus has accepted you. I accept you just as you are. Accept one another. Then just as Christ accepted you in order to what? To bring praise to God. Let us all affirm others while you still have the opportunity. Guys, don't put it off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Take the opportunity while you can. Don't wait to tell someone how you feel. But as it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Let me make this very clear and direct. Biblical affirmation can only be understood and practiced by born-again, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led believers who are faithful and obedient to Christ. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, or you are living a life of sin that is displeasing to the Lord, then you cannot, you will not ever experience the fullness of God's love and affirmation. You need to step out right now into the light and come forward to receive the free gift of salvation that only Christ can offer. If you do, you will be forgiven of all your sins. You will be set free from the chains of this world, and you'll begin a genuine, everlasting, intimate relationship and fellowship with Him and with one another in Christ. This is God's greatest affirmation promise to you. God's greatest affirmation to you is a personal relationship He promises with you. Jesus, the great I Am, He is the one and the only who is and who was and who will always be. He has revealed Himself to you over and over and over again. And He is still waiting for you to live a truly affirming life. God is asking you to reach out to Him right here, right now. And then you will know that Jesus is the truth and He will set you free. You come and don't delay.